Welcome to the Sports Fathers, episode 3, recorded on Monday, October 29th, 2012, downtown Eddie Brown. In today's show, we talk about the World Series. They should really do something about the trophy presentation. Some crazy games in the CFL this past weekend, and an update on the NHL lockout. It's all coming up next. And welcome to exciting episode number 3. The Trinity of Episodes, or something like that. I'm Father Daryl, and joining me today is Father Travis Muirheim in beautiful Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. How are you, Father Travis?
Doing fantastic, thanks.
Great. And also joining us today, Father Andrew Schoenberger from St. Paul, Alberta. Father Andrew, hello.
Hello.
And so, as you probably noticed, we have been without episodes for the last couple of weeks. Father Andrew, myself, another priest and a bunch of parishioners of theirs from Alberta were on a pilgrimage in Rome last week. And so as a result, we were unable to record. And sadly, we were unable to watch any CFL while we were away. Very, very sad. I caught actually a tiny bit of the World Series. But other than that, there was pretty much no sports watching, at least on my end.
Well, but being the loyal fans that we are, are you going to post that picture that we took in St. Peter's Square?
I will. One of my favorite pictures of our entire pilgrimage. Father Andrew and myself wore our CFL gear in front of the dome at St. Peter's Basilica.
Yeah, I really need to get an Eskimo jersey, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It's why the Vatican is so holy. It can bring together even riders and Eskimo fans.
That's what I was thinking.
That's high praise coming from you.
No, that was a lot of fun.
It didn't bring me together.
No, next time. We need more rider representation.
And if not mistaken, the Holy Father was in the background of that picture as well.
I think he had already left by then. we weren't that out of place. We waited till we left before we put our jerseys on.
I thought there were still people saying farewell or greeting him and stuff.
Oh, well, maybe. Anyway, this is the Sports Fathers, so we could talk about sports and stuff too. So, who watched the World Series in its entirety for those who were in Canada? Hey, Travis, did you watch the World Series in its entirety?
Not at all.
Not at all? I have to admit, other than the little bit that I caught in a bar in Rome, I only watched the end of the game yesterday.
Well, that's more than I've watched.
But I do follow a few people on Twitter and so forth, including a priest who hosts his own technology podcast, Father Robert Ballaser, who was apparently very ecstatic of the San Francisco win yesterday.
Oh, I have some friends who are probably disappointed that the Tigers lost.
Yeah, probably that too. Now, you attended seminary for a few years in London. Would there have been maybe some people from the United States that you encountered there, or?
Oh, no. No one from the United States, but there were guys from Windsor.
Okay.
And one, a friend of mine anyway, he was big Detroit Tigers fan.
And they have gone a long time without a World Series, or have they ever won a World Series?
I don't know. I don't follow baseball at all.
Yeah, since the 94 lockout, I haven't really followed a heck of a lot.
Oh, since the Expos?
Yes.
Like, that chance?
Yes. Now, I was still in high school. You guys might have been a little younger. I don't know.
Yeah, a little younger.
So here's one thing I noticed, though, about the way the World Series, after the game was finished. You know how when the Grey Cup is won for Canadian football, or the Stanley Cup is won for the NHL, which doesn't seem to happen every year, sadly. You know how They do this big presentation to the players in front of all the fans, and everyone's going crazy, and it's this incredibly emotional moment. You know, think of when Ray Bourque won his first and only Stanley Cup, and how incredible that was. Fans are going crazy. They're lifting the cup above their heads. And then you watch the World Series being won, and the presentation of the trophy is the commissioner and the owner of the team and I think the manager and the GM. And a reporter from Fox, and no one else. it was just such a, I don't know, such a letdown of a trophy presentation.
Oh.
Yeah.
That sucks.
And I don't know, is that the, I don't know if that's the way that they always do it. I think it is, but it's, it seems so, I don't know. I don't know if lame is too strong a word, but it certainly seemed that way when you compare it to the other sports and how the players go crazy over the trophy and the fans are all going crazy. And
Well, considering it's not really the World Series anyway, maybe there's something, a connection there.
No. Wait. Isn't America the world?
Well, there is an international presence, or there was back in 92, 93.
There you go. Problem solved.
Yeah. The first time that a national anthem other than the American one was played during the World Series.
Yes.
And I guess supposedly a lot of Americans didn't like that.
Oh gosh.
I honestly don't remember. I do remember on the one game and the first time that Toronto was in the World Series, the National Guard accidentally hung the Canadian flag upside down, but caused a big international incident. Talk about embarrassment in front of an international audience. But anyway,
well, it's like that one singer, I guess, for one of the sports events recently. I don't remember which one. Totally butchered "Oh Canada."
Mind you, you hear the Star Spangled Banner get butchered often enough too.
By Canadians?
By Americans, by everyone. Yeah, that American national anthem.
That's a little different than trying to sing "Oh Canada" in the United States and singing it to a totally different tune other than what it's meant for.
I seem to remember that. Yeah. Oh, well, the joys of embarrassment in front of thousands, if not millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
we can't take things too seriously. I mean, it is sports after all, so. But some things that we do have to take very seriously are like the CFL. Now, that is serious business out here.
That's right.
So why don't we jump right into it? Did you guys catch the game on Friday? One of the strangest first couple quarters of football that I've seen. So this is the BC game in Calgary.
24-0 after first quarter?
Yeah, and then within 2 minutes of the second quarter, it was 31-0 for Calgary over the top team in the league. It was just like BC. It was like Keystone Cops. They couldn't do anything. It was strange.
Well, and of course, Tallulah wasn't playing either.
No, but I mean, when your defense allows 24 points in a quarter.
Yeah.
I think there was, although I think some of those points were defensive points, but still.
Well, Saskatchewan let 14 in the first quarter. I guess not as bad as 24, but still.
There have been some real blowouts this season, though. You know, Saskatchewan blew out Winnipeg in the Labor Day Classic. Edmonton lost a pretty big one to Hamilton a few weeks ago.
Yesterday was almost a blowout for Montreal over Edmonton, but we'll get to that one later.
That was one of the most entertaining 2.5 minutes I've seen so far this season. But yeah, this is the Friday game. It was a crazy game, down 31-0 with less than 2 minutes into the second quarter. It kind of makes me scared for next week because Saskatchewan plays against BC, and you know BC, the players in BC are going to not be happy. They're going to have some intensity, I think.
Yeah.
Well, considering, I guess, BC had five fumbles in that game, though.
Oh, they were atrocious, yeah.
My uncle went and put it on Facebook. He said, and he's a big BC fan, BC better start playing better than this if they hope to bring the cup home.
Actually, if they kept playing like that, I'd be totally fine with it. But, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing like being virtuous and wishing evil upon somebody else.
Well, I think that wish is only as good as if BC actually plays Saskatchewan.
Yeah, either way. I mean, BC has been playing so well for most of the season that if they lost in the playoffs, that'd be okay.
Yeah, it's going to be a hard road to the Grey Cup, though. Like, if we come in third and we're going through Calgary and then through BC, it's a long ways west.
Yes.
But we don't know this yet. It's very possible that the Riders might have to go against Montreal before they get to BC.
No, it is possible.
It is
but
possible.
It's not very possible.
Well, one of the yeah, I was trying to make a segue there. It didn't work. So how about we just go to Saturday's game? Winnipeg in Hamilton, the last ever game, unless something weird happens at Iverwind Stadium in Hamilton. I don't even know if they know where they're playing next year yet, the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Because they are building a new stadium, but it won't be ready for next season.
Oh, okay.
And so I think they were exploring a number of options, different university stadiums and that kind of thing for the Tiger Cats to play in. But anyway, so on Saturday, this past Saturday, was theoretically the last game at Iverwind Stadium, a very old stadium. I think it was the first parts of the structure were built like 70 years ago, something like that. Mm. It's been around for a while.
Well, they were saying that stadium really has a character to it, and that of all the stadiums in the league, you can get the fans are just so close to the field.
Yeah, it's like the players are sitting in a little dugout kind of thing, almost underneath some of the stands.
It almost seems like a hockey arena.
Yes. You know, I think one of the most memorable things I have about that stadium would have been, I think it was the 96 Grey Cup, the one with all the snow. Eddie Brown on, it was Edmonton, wasn't it? Edmonton, Toronto.
Which year?
96.
Okay, if they did, Toronto must have won that year then.
Yes, that's right. And
But 96, wasn't that, 95 was Baltimore.
That's correct. Yes. But 96 had this, I mean, it was a snow game. Every few minutes they had to go out and clear off the lines so you could see the lines on the field at least. And it had one of the most incredible catches ever where it went off of the fingertips, off of the guy's foot, back up, and he caught it without breaking a stride and into the end zone.
I think I remember that one.
Yes. I remember watching that on TV. That was one of the craziest things ever. Obviously, the grip on his shoes was really good for snowy conditions. But it's kind of neat when you have stadiums like that have that certain character and that history to them. Part of you almost feels like it's sad to see it go. Like when Taylor Field, Mosaic Stadium, gives way to the new place, there's certain character in the old place. Although there aren't nearly enough bathrooms at Mosaic Stadium. But anyway.
Let's still call it Taylor Field.
I know, but they what can you do when a company comes offering millions of dollars to put their name on it? What would you do?
Take the money and run.
Call it Taylor Field, sponsored by Mosaic.
Well, they went the other way around. It's Taylor Field at Mosaic Stadium. Anyway, whatever. So the Winnipeg Hamilton game. News flash: breaking news: Buck Pearce got hurt and didn't finish the game. I know that hasn't happened much.
Wow, that's a surprise.
It totally is. I don't know. I know on TSN a few of the panelists there are saying he should just hang him up already, hang up the cleats. Oh. Well, just to protect his own future, his health. Because, I mean, he's just getting hurt left, right, and center.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Is playing football in the Canadian Football League worth wrecking your body for the rest of your life?
Good point.
But he hasn't won a Grey Cup yet.
That's correct. But maybe he can as a coach. I don't know.
Would you hire him as a coach?
Well, I don't know anything about football, but sure. Obviously, I think quarterbacks seem to make okay coaches. I don't know how Marcus Crandall's working out in Edmonton, but...
Yeah, I don't really know either.
Anyway... But since we've been talking a lot about Saskatchewan, why not moving to that game? Boo, Saskatchewan lost. So sad.
Yeah, I just can't believe it. It just sucks. Like, we could have easily won that game. I don't know what happened in the first couple minutes there.
When you get down 14-0 in the first quarter, that's a hard deficit to overcome. But give the guys credit. They battled back. They almost pulled it out. But I think the real killer was actually the kickoff return in the second half. Brought 77 yards down the field to about, what, the 12-yard line or so? And the Riders managed to eke out 1 point on a missed field goal out of that whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, they missed 2 field goals in that game, didn't they?
Yes. I think they missed another 40-something, 43-yarder or something, which is a little easier to take than missing a 16-yarder. But again, I'd probably miss the 16-yarder if it was me. But even so, yeah, that's a 5-point difference, and they lost by 5, so there you go.
Mm-hmm.
But the big news, the other piece of big news in that game, besides how well Ricky Ray played, because he really did play well from what I could see, was Brandon Isaac laid a hit late in the game on Darian Durant, a helmet-to-helmet hit that was not called. Today he was suspended for a game, so I missed that part of the game live. I was getting ready for Mass and waiting for a bunch of people to enter the church about 2 minutes after the Mass was normally about to begin because of the game. Like, I look outside and a bunch of people are listening in their cars on the radio. And there are a few people at home living down the street watching, and then so Mass started a few minutes late, but that's okay. But anyway, when they came into church, everyone was just complaining loudly about this Brandon Isaac hit. And on replay, it was bad. There's just no way getting around it.
Well, it was helmet to helmet, and yes, Durant was not happy. But then yes, Rider fans certainly made their displeasure very, very clear with colorful language.
metaphors.
But then the next play right afterwards, they start yelling again when Durant got hit. But yes, the guy hit him in the head, but that's because Durant ducked to try to miss the tackles. But by doing that, the arm went around his head rather than around his chest.
Yeah. Yeah, that second one I don't think looked... I mean, again, I only watched on a replay. It didn't look as bad as that obvious Isaac one.
Well, the second hit, there's no way that the guy could have actually avoided that because Durant is the one who moved in the way.
Sure. Like,
by ducking, then all of a sudden that's where the arm went.
Yeah. No, that makes sense to me. I am with Matt Dunnigan, though, and wondering how on earth the ref missed the first one. Because... I don't know what the refs would have been looking at. There's a guy with the ball and a guy hitting the guy with the ball. I don't know what else you're looking at, but again, I don't ref either, so what do I know?
Yeah.
But this is going to be this next week's game in BC is going to definitely be a big test for the Rioters because they don't want to be going into the playoffs on a 4-game losing streak. Mind you, they did that in 2010. They made it to the Grey Cup, so... Maybe they want to lose. I don't know.
Well, you know, maybe they should, and then Edmonton can win, and you guys can go to the East.
Well, that's the thing. I wonder if the players would rather play in Calgary or in Toronto. I think...
Toronto.
Well, maybe. Why do you say that?
Toronto's... I don't know. Would Toronto be the easier team?
Possibly. What I'm thinking, though, is that as far as fan support goes, because fan support's pretty important for this team, they'll get way more fans in Calgary. Mm. I remember the last time the Riders played a playoff game in Calgary, it looked like Christmas with all the red and the green. And the Riders, of course, won that game quite well. And by the final buzzer or whatever, it was just green left in the stands. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, exactly. I think that... the East would be an easier division to road to the Grey Cup just through Toronto and Montreal. Mm-hmm. But I think the West is where we want to play.
The other thing too, and I read this, I think on TSN, might've been a different reporter from the CFL's point of view. I bet you they would love to see Edmonton playing against Toronto. I mean, talk about that matchup, Edmonton playing against Ricky Ray, like as far as storyline goes for that game.
Yeah. Well, storyline, yes, but I mean, whatever.
Anyway.
Yep, I want to see Edmonton in the East.
Anything you say about Edmonton cannot be taken seriously.
Isn't it awesome to see how Priest get along so well? All right. Moving on. Speaking of Edmonton, Sunday afternoon, I have to admit, I was watching the game on my DVR because obviously. Like both of you guys, I had Mass on Sunday, two of them actually.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, a good chunk of that game was awfully boring. But then the fourth quarter, about halfway through the fourth quarter, Kerry Joseph has to come out of the game, I think with just under 10 minutes to go. And Matt Nichols goes into the game for Edmonton. And the guy throws 230 yards and 3 touchdowns in under 10 minutes.
Yeah. Well, that game's just like the Toronto-Saskatchewan game. You took off the first quarter of both games, and it would be a good game.
Huh, yeah, exactly.
Yes.
But no, Matt Nichols, boy, did he shine there for that short time that he had.
And, you know, if Kerry Koch doesn't go offside on that one long play.
Oh, yeah. Totally the game.
Yeah. Oh, that was an exciting last few minutes there anyway. I have to admit, I was pulling for Edmonton just for the sake of seeing Matt Nichols do good and seeing the Alouettes lose.
Yep, everyone wants to see the Alouettes lose.
Speaking of the Alouettes, did you guys watch the latest Engraved on a Nation, the kid from La Puente?
No.
No.
Oh, I think that's the best episode so far, to be perfectly honest. So this is the story about Anthony Calvillo, his childhood and his perseverance, where he's come now, being the top passer in the history of professional football. And it's a great, great episode.
Oh, cool.
Very, very inspiring story. You know, his father left his family when he was very young, when Anthony was very young. His brother spent a few years in prison. And through it all, the family stuck together. His wife, of course, had a rather public battle with cancer a few years ago. And then Anthony Calvillo in 2010 had his own cancer scare. So he's gone through a lot, and he's been very classy throughout it all and played at an incredibly high level. So very, very, very well done story. Well done episode. All right. So Father Andrew.
Yes.
Pretend you're Cavis Reed.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you starting in Calgary, or no, in Edmonton against Calgary this upcoming Friday evening, for quarterback, that is?
Well, yeah. See, the thing is, if you went to think as a fan, most fans would say put in Nichols after what he just did.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he was coming in at what appeared to be a lost cause, so there's a little bit of a different thing there. I could see Cavis Reed start Joseph.
And he has said that he is starting Joseph. So this is all hypothetical, but
I mean, if there were still two games left, I mean, if there was still an extra game yet after this, I would start Nichols. Because, hey, he just showed that he can move the ball, he can get touchdowns. Give him the shot.
Mm-hmm.
But because there's only one game left, and I mean, maybe it would change regarding seeing whether or not Hamilton wins or loses. If Hamilton wins on Thursday, well, then Edmonton has to win. And so therefore, yeah, you probably want to put in your veteran and try your best. But if Hamilton loses, then really that last game
doesn't Don't mean a thing.
Mean as much. I mean, all it means is potentially bumping Saskatchewan to the east if Saskatchewan loses next weekend.
Yes.
So, I mean, they already guaranteed a playoff spot if Hamilton loses. Otherwise, it's a must win. So, if it's a must win, I'd probably start Joseph, but keep Nichols close by in case we need to throw him in. But if it's not, I would probably just for the sake of the fans, I'd throw in Nichols and see what he can do.
You know, I would tend to agree with you, and I think Matt Dunnigan was also saying, put Kerry Joseph in. He's a veteran. He's been in those kind of games before. And I don't know that it was all entirely his fault that the offense wasn't moving. I mean, his pass protection, it didn't look terribly good to me. Mm-hmm. So he had a lot of pressure, and I don't know if that was just the way Montreal was game planning, but he seemed to have a lot of pressure on him. That certainly didn't help matters. Now, it's still a mystery then why Matt Nichols all of a sudden did so good with the same kind of defense, but anyway.
Well, Nichols was commented actually in an article on CFL.ca saying that he noticed that the Alouettes had changed up their style of defense a bit. Okay. And so he noticed that there were some openings that weren't there before.
They were doing more of like sit back and
probably more containment and more just like, okay, we're just going to then in an aggressive, like, let's stop them. So if you, right. And I think that's what probably started to scare Montreal near the end of the game.
Yeah. Because, I mean, when Edmonton's got a guy like Fred Stamps who can just blow by the DBs on Montreal, like that one touchdown pass, oh my goodness.
95 yards?
Yeah, he showed he's got some wheels on him.
Well, one thing that they were saying is that Trettman? No. Who's the coach of Montreal?
Trestman, Mark Trestman.
There you go. Well, he was saying, I guess, that anybody who's dressed will play in that game. And so they thought McPherson was going to get a lot of time. But then when Nichols started moving the ball, said, no, Cavillo's back in.
Can't say I blame him. Although McPherson's got to get like the award for the most patient guy ever. I mean, he's a pretty good quarterback from what I've seen, but he's playing behind one of the greatest quarterbacks that's ever played.
Yeah, how many more years do you think Cavillo has?
I don't know. He doesn't look like he's slowing down a whole lot.
No, he doesn't. Yeah, they're first in the East again, so.
Yeah, and I have to think that guy's got a future in coaching, too, because he just seems to understand the game so well.
Yeah.
All right, should we move on to picks for the next week? We can just assume that we all had our picks right for the last 2 weeks, except that we got our Edmonton and Saskatchewan picks wrong, because obviously we would have picked, you know, for those teams to win.
Yeah.
But other than that, we got everything else right. We can just assume that.
That's a good assumption.
Yeah. I know I would have.
Oh, because we're also just so smart.
Yeah, we'll go with that. All right, so Thursday, Hamilton at Toronto. So, Father Andrew, this has direct implications for the playoffs for your Edmonton Eskimos. Who are you picking? Hamilton at Toronto.
You know, the thing is I think Hamilton's going to win it because Hamilton actually has something to lose in that game. Toronto has absolutely nothing to lose. And, I'll say 26-19. Hamilton.
Okay. Father Travis.
I'm picking Toronto, actually, over Hamilton. I'm going to say 21-18, though, because I think it's going to be a close battle.
I agree that it'll probably be a close battle. I think Ricky Ray is really starting to catch fire, though. And Henry Burris, it really depends on which Henry shows up. So I'm going to go with Toronto in a close one as well. I'll say 26-24. So then that moves us into the next game that is directly affected by that one. So Friday evening, Calgary at Edmonton. Father Andrew, who are you picking?
Well, that's also going to determine. The Thursday night's game, I think, is going to impact the outcome of the Friday game. Because it's really going to determine on how much fire Edmonton's going to have.
This is things that drive a coach nuts.
But, I mean, Calgary just came off a huge win against BC.
Yes.
So they'll be on a high, but will that make them overconfident? I don't know.
And in Edmonton.
Just because I can never, ever cheer for Calgary, I'm just going to say that Edmonton's going to win it.
Well, and that's kind of what I expected right from the beginning.
And we're going to say it'll be 32-16.
Whoa, okay. Well, I'm also going to say Edmonton. And I'm going to say a little bit closer than that, though. A little bit lower scoring. For the sake of consistency, I'm going to say 26-24. Father Travis.
All right. I'm going to choose Calgary, of course.
Go figure.
Of course.
But I'm going to say 30-26.
Another close one?
Yeah, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt there.
All right. Montreal at Winnipeg, Saturday afternoon. Yeah. I don't think Buck. I think the number of players that are injured on Winnipeg, if they were all healthy, could like make up another football team. So,
yep.
So I'll go first on this one. Montreal's going to win, and I'm going to say it's 35-15.
Yeah, as much as I hate to say it, I think Montreal's going to win that one too, and I'm going to say 25-18.
All right.
Definitely Montreal. 33-18.
Okay. Saturday evening, Saskatchewan in BC. Father Travis, who are you picking?
Yeah, of course. It's going to be Saskatchewan, but, you know, I'm scared. And so I'm going to say 29-28.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a nail biter. And BC will probably win too, but in good conscience, I cannot.
Exactly. I'm going to say Saskatchewan, and they're going to win a blowout. No.
Nice.
No, for the sake of consistency, I'm going to say 26-24. I'm pretty sure Lule is going to play that game.
You know, and this is why our picks are so inaccurate, because you guys don't use reason when you pick a game with Saskatchewan in it.
Oh, we got to go with the heart, Andrew.
That's right. Well, I think BC is going to win that because they're going to have to wake up from their previous loss. And I think they're going to win 28-21.
Oh, fine then.
Yeah, fine then.
We'll find out.
And breaking news from the NHL. The lockout is still on. Yeah, 45 days in. Doesn't look like it's going to let up. What do you guys think? Are we going to see NHL hockey this season?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Well, the players fear Bettman.
They fear Bettman. Is that a bad pun?
That's a very bad pun.
Very bad pun on the name of the leader of the NHLPA.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sigh,
indeed. But I do see rumors that later on this week, the NHL is going to be canceling the Winter Classic. So,
ooh, that's actually huge.
Yeah, but I don't know. Anyway. All right. Anybody watch any NFL?
Nope.
By that silence, I'm going to say the answer is no.
No, but my Vikings lost.
Oh, you're a Vikings fan, are you?
Yes.
Okay.
So I just kind of keep up with the stats on them, mostly because they're, you know, Norwegian.
They're Norwegian. They're actually pretty close to us in Saskatchewan.
And they are. Yep.
Do you pull for any particular NFL team, Father Andrew?
Nope. Yeah. And if I did, maybe I'd just cheer for the Green Bay Packers, just because I like their colors.
I cheer for the Riders. The Riders have not lost a game in the NFL yet this season. Neither of the Calgary Flames in the NHL, but that's a different story.
But they would get pummeled if they went down there.
You know, the one thing I'm only disappointed about when it comes to the NHL lockout is seeing the young guys on the Oilers. It would have proven to be a very interesting season.
Yes, I will agree with that.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, well, next year, I guess.
Yes, we are an Advent people.
Yeah.
Next week. We actually hope to record again next week.
Next week on the World Wide Web.
On the interwebs with the book face and the Twitter. Put it on MySpace.
You know, we really should have recorded an episode in Rome, though.
I wasn't carting all my sound equipment to Rome.
But then would we have to talk about European football?
You had your iPhone with you.
Do you watch European football, a.k.a. soccer?
Nope.
I think we're basically stuck with CFL and NHL. And since NHL's locked out right now, we really only have CFL to talk about.
I know. After the Grey Cup, this could be a pretty lean podcast. Some people might say it already is.
Woe to those people.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been a lot of fun. We shall see you again next week.
Good night.
See you next week. See you next week.
Oh, you guys talked over each other.
Good night. Yep.
You just did again. We're so professional.
Good night.
See you next week. Did that work?
That did.
Oh, sorry for all the editing.